Good morning. How is everyone? On this fine day, I just felt right to say. It's good to be here. Why don't we pray and then we will get to work. God, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us days where it's so obvious that your power and your beauty and your goodness and your kindness. God, I pray that as we read your word that you would speak to us, that your spirit would talk to us, that we would hear your voice in what you inspired. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So isn't it hard to change? I mean, like, to really, really change on the inside. We can change our clothes and we can act different in front of other people, you know, for a little while, but actually truly changing and being different, thinking different thoughts, wanting different things. Not just, you know, sometimes we can get really good at being a Christian and we can make ourselves not do what we want. That's like stage one, but what about changing what we want? That's almost impossible, isn't it? Or our emotions, what we feel. You know, when that wave of anger or wave of jealousy or wave of loneliness or depression rolls over us, how do we change what we feel? It's almost impossible to change who we are on the inside. And it seemed like, as we've been reading through the book of Galatians, that especially as we've gotten towards the end, that Paul has not been helping us very much with that. In fact, he's kind of been putting on the pressure of you have to change and making us feel the need to change. And all the while, if you're thinking about it, kind of in the back of your mind, there might be the thought, yeah, but I can't do that. I mean, I can act it out a little bit, but I can't truly, truly do that. For example, we started this section in Galatians 5:13, and here's where Paul is telling us to change, to be different, to be different people. For you were called to freedom, brothers, but do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. You were called to freedom. You were called to be free. So don't use that for your flesh. Use it to love. Use it to serve. Use it to obey God and to help other people. And you say, okay, so you want us to be different and we're free. And this goes with the whole idea that in Christ we're free. And in Christ we're free from the law. And in Christ we're free from our flesh, and in Christ we're free to be God's dearly beloved children, not because of what we've done, but because of what Christ has done. And that gives us a freedom, a liberty to, what Paul says, to love, to be the people that God has always wanted us to be. It gives us an ability, the freedom to, what we saw last week was to kill the flesh. Look at verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And then look down in verse 24. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We're free in Christ, and Paul says we're free to kill our flesh. And again, the thought comes up, wait a second, if I'm free to kill the flesh, that's hard. I've tried to change things, and maybe when I was a younger teenager, I mean, I'm not an older teenager now, but when I was younger, and I was a teenager, I learned some bad vocabulary words, not the kind that I was taught in homeschool, the bad kind, and somehow they got ingrained in my brain, and they just became a part of how I spoke, but I learned how to control those bad vocabulary words around my parents. It was amazing how that happened. I could control it in certain circumstances, certain environments, and not act a certain way around certain people. But truly being different, truly changing how you think and how you feel and how you would speak and what you would say and what you would do if no one was watching, when no one is watching you, that's really, really hard. We don't know how to do that. And so we come off of last week when Paul says, kill your flesh, be a different person. And we read that whole list of things that he said, these are works of the flesh. And if you're living, you heard that list and at least something in there caught your attention and you said, oh, that's me. That's a work of my flesh. I'm predisposed towards that. And so how do I change that? Maybe for you it's been something you've been trying to change for years. And last week was just, you know, another nail in the coffin of you're never going to be good enough. And so we give in. We hide our sin. And we feel weighed down with condemnation. But there is hope. There's hope. When Paul says, kill your flesh, there's hope that he gives as well. And we're going to look at that hope. It's running through the same section of Scripture, verses 16 through 25, where he says, kill your flesh. The hope is woven through that section. And here's what we're going to look at, that there is hope. You can truly change. You can truly be a different person. And if you're a Christian, if you're a Christ follower, this will give you and I hope. Because it will tell us you can be different, and here is how we can truly be different. And if you still haven't decided to follow Jesus, if you haven't made that decision, partially maybe because you know who you are and how you are, and you know the chances of you ever changing, really changing, and being acceptable to God are about nil, it's not going to happen. And so you put off making the decision because you don't want to make a decision that you're going to end up breaking anyway. Well, you'll see there will be hope for you when you give yourself to Christ. In verse 16 through 25, this section not only tells us that in Christ we're free to kill the flesh, it says we are free to be transformed by the Spirit. That in Christ we are free to be transformed by the Spirit of God. That the Spirit of God works inside of the children of God and makes them become like Jesus. And when you are in Christ, he will fill you with supernatural power, and he will change even your character and your being and your emotions. And that is our hope. When we read in the Bible and it says, here is how you should be. Don't be like this. Be like this. Our hope that we could ever be like that is that if we are God's children, his Spirit is in us, and we are free to be transformed by the Spirit. Let's read the section, and then we will dig into it. But I say, verse 16, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live that by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. He's saying the Spirit is who will change us. And in Christ we are free to be transformed by him. So look at verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And he says, walk by the Spirit. He's drawing on some assumptions that he's assuming that if you are a Christian and you've been following along the narrative of what it means to be a Christian, then you understand some things. He's assuming that you understand that the Spirit of God lives in, resides in, inhabits in the children of God. That's what Jesus promised, for example, in John 14, when Jesus said, I'm going to the Father, but I will send another, the Helper, the Comforter, who will be with you. It is better that I go, Why? Because it'll be better that he comes. He will be with you. He will be in you. He will be with you forever. And then Jesus talks about what he will do. It's what his followers promised. And they made a universal promise in Acts 2:38 and 39 when they said, "Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." This promise is for you and for your children and for those who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. He says, everyone who is a Christian, and Paul then reiterates this in Romans 8, everyone who is a Christian has the Spirit of God. If you don't have the Spirit of God, not a Christian. I think that's Romans 8, 14, my paraphrase. It's what Paul equates to being a Christian, even in the book of Galatians. Look back in Galatians 3, verse 2. Let me ask you this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing through faith? He's talking about how they became a Christian. And he's saying, and he's equating them being a Christian to having the Spirit of God. So Paul is assuming when he gets to verse 16 that if you're a Christian, you understand, okay, if I'm a Christian, I have the Spirit of God. And he says, follow this, walk by the Spirit. Why would he say walk by the Spirit? Well, that's in a sense saying follow the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit guides us. He's the one who we are able to follow and who we are able to walk after. That's the second option. That's the other option to what we saw last week, because he says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. He puts it up as one or the other. You will either follow the desires of your flesh, you will go after those, your flesh will pull you in a direction, and you'll say, I just had to lie, I couldn't eat, I couldn't avoid it. I couldn't stop myself from telling that piece of gossip. I couldn't stop myself from drinking just one or 10 too many. I couldn't stop myself from eating that last plate of food. I couldn't stop myself from looking when that person walked by. I couldn't stop myself. Or, he says, or you follow the Spirit. You'll follow your desires, or you will follow the Spirit of God. It's one or the other. And he says, walk by, follow, walk in the power of the Spirit. That implies two things when he says walk by the Spirit. It implies guidance, and it implies the power, being able to walk by the Spirit through his power, and also following his guidance. The Spirit of God guides the children of God, both through the Word of God and through the internal voice as he guides us in all righteousness. And Paul is saying, implying, that if you're in Christ, you're free to follow the Spirit. He's not asking us to do something we can't do. He's saying you can do this. You're able to do this. People who are enslaved before they have given themselves to Jesus and been freed are not able to follow the Spirit. People who are enslaved are not able to walk according to the Spirit. The Spirit works on them and draws them to God sometimes, but and inspires things, but he does not reside in, inhabit in, people who are not regenerate. So people who are enslaved are not able to follow the Spirit. They're enslaved by their flesh and their legalism, and they're taken to rebellion against God because they're enslaved. But in Christ, Paul has been saying we're free. And a great advantage of being free is that we are able to follow the Spirit. So he can say, walk by the Spirit. And he's not asking us to do the impossible, because in Christ we are free to follow the Spirit and free to be transformed by the Spirit. Free people can follow the Spirit. That's how we kill our flesh. If you got to the end of last week and you said, okay, I know I need to be different, and now again, I'm reminded of how I need to be different. Thanks for that. What's the practical way? How do I kill my flesh? This is the practical way, at least the one that Paul gives us. He says the way that you kill your flesh, the way that you put to death the works of the flesh, is by following the Spirit. It is the technique, the practical application that we use to kill our flesh. And in verse 17, he continues with this war language. He says, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you desire. The Spirit has desires. Our flesh has desires. We get our flesh desires. We feel those every day and every moment, especially when we stop and think about them. But the Spirit has desires as well. He wants us to be like Christ. He wants us to submit ourselves to God. He wants to glorify and make known the name of Christ. He wants us to become like Jesus so that when we as the body of Christ, individually and collectively, when we are seen by people who are outside of Christ, they are able to see a representation of Christ. He exists to glorify the Son, and the way He does that through us is by making us become like the Son. He wants us to submit ourselves to God in obedience so that we become like Jesus. And so He has desires. He wants us to obey God. And if you, that's just an incredible perspective. When in the moment of temptation, it hit me this week. In the moment of temptation, if you think, wait a second, I so strongly want to do this or think this or say this or feel this. You say, wait a second, God's Spirit desires me not to do that. He really, really wants me to not do it. Isn't that an interesting thought? Might that just not stop you cold in your tracks in the moment of temptation and say, wow, God's Spirit doesn't want me to do that. What a thought. And Paul says that our desires and the Spirit's desires are in conflict with each other. We want to be our own boss. The Spirit wants us to submit ourselves to Jesus as Lord. Our flesh wants us to find pleasure in momentary things. The Spirit wants us to become more and more like Jesus. And those desires battle against each other. And then in verse 18, he tells us what to do with that battle, that internal battle. But if you are led by the Spirit, in order to be led by the Spirit, what does that involve? What's the you doing part in that? You have to follow the Spirit. In order to be led by the Spirit, you have to follow the Spirit. So if you follow the Spirit, if the Spirit is leading you and you're following Him, you are not under law. It says when part of free people in Christ are free to be transformed by the Spirit. And, watch the logic, when you follow the Spirit and are transformed by Him, you become more and more free. Because we are enslaved, in several different ways. We're enslaved by our flesh. We're enslaved by our desires and our rebellion and what we want to do and how we say, I just can't be different. I can't change. I don't think we're enslaved by our flesh. We're enslaved by depending on our worth on our works, by saying who I am is what I do. And if I behave, then I'm a good person. And if I don't behave, I'm a bad person. And that enslaves us because we're never good enough. We're enslaved by the weight of all that we have to do to obey God and be acceptable to God, and we never do enough, and so there's condemnation and a burden. And in Christ, He says, if you're following the Spirit, you're not under law. Your works are not the measure of who you are. You're free from that. You're free from your flesh because you're following the Spirit, and your flesh doesn't have the enslaving hold over you that it did before. You're free to follow the Spirit and obey God. Look at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And now remember, he said that these aren't just, you know, whatever one hits you is not just our particular problem, my particular problem in my character, but rather these are things that go against what the Spirit wants. They're the opposite of what the Spirit wants for me. And so when I live in this way, I'm saddening the Spirit. I'm disobeying the Spirit. I'm challenging the Spirit. Like when a child hears his father or mother say something and looks at them and then smiles and goes and does the opposite. Not our children, right? But we've seen that at Walmart before. Think about your persistent sin. The thing that you keep doing that you just say, I can't stop doing that. And we all have one. Think about it this way. That's resisting the Spirit. That's going against the Spirit's desires. And look at what he says at the end. I warn you as I warned you before that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. He says that will separate you from God. And you say, when I commit that sin, it's separating me from God. And the more that I live in that sin, the more that it's driving me away from God, driving a wedge between me and God, and eventually it will send me to hell. It is separating me from God. But when I follow the Spirit, I'm saying no to that. And so instead of being separated from God by following my flesh, I'm being brought near to God and being part of His kingdom because I'm following the Spirit. So actually, the Spirit doesn't exist to remove joy from our lives and tell us, no, you can't do that, and no, you can't do that, and no, you can't do that. And by the way, here's some power so that you don't do what you really want to do, and now you have the ability to live against your true desires and be miserable. Rather, the Spirit exists so that we can say no to our flesh, which drives us away from God, puts us out of His kingdom, sends us to hell. The Spirit exists not to take away our joy, but to give us eternal joy. Because when we follow the Spirit, we say no to our flesh, and we are brought near to our Father. So what does the Spirit do? If that's what the flesh wants to work, what does the Spirit want to work? Look in verse 22. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. He says the Spirit is working things. Why do you say the Spirit is working them? They're not things that you do, but rather they're things the Spirit is producing. Well, because he uses the word fruit. And right now, my wife planted a garden before she... That worked out well. She left the country. So anyway, we're watering them. She planted a garden, and it is growing, and there's flowers on the plants, and there's some fruit growing on those plants. It's vegetables, but you get the drift. It's things growing that wouldn't be... I can't make them grow. They're growing kind of on their own. The plant is growing them. I'm not growing them. I'm going to benefit from them, not growing them. He says that the Spirit produces fruit. The Spirit produces things that grow, that it's not that you have to do these things, but rather the Spirit produces these things inside of you. The flesh pulls us to do things. The Spirit produces things inside of us. You see the difference between that? And they're things we can't produce. When you look down this list, what on this list is not an emotion or a characteristic? A way of being, something who we are. It's not a list of things to do. It's a list of things that define who you are and what you feel. Go down the list. They're internal changes. They're internal things. You can't do them. You can't make yourself do them. They can only happen. Look at the first one, love. The works of the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's wanting the best for other people. It's wanting the best, a desire. It's an emotion. It's something you feel. It's something you want. Joy. Joy is happiness. It's feeling joy. It's feeling happiness. It's an emotion. You can't produce joy. You can act happy. Happy face. You can't make yourself feel it, though. It's something that's produced on the inside. Peace. Again, this is being calm on the inside. You can act calm on the outside, but you know if you're calm on the inside or not, because if you're not, you get an ulcer, no matter how calm you look at it on the outside. It's peace. It's being, and I'm not saying getting an ulcer is sin. That's not, I was just saying that you can be calm on the outside and not be calm on the inside, because being calm on the inside is something that is produced. You can't produce it yourself. Patience. And that's being tranquil and at peace while you're waiting. That's an emotion. It's something you feel. Kindness. That's being a good person, being a moral, good person. It's a characteristic. Goodness. That's being good to other people. Again, it's a characteristic. It's not something you can measure, not something you can do. Faithfulness. That's trusting in and being faithful in the things that you've set out to do. It's a characteristic. You can tell when someone's not faithful, but you can't give me a checklist and say if you do these things you will be faithful. Why? Because faithfulness is something that you are. Gentleness, that's being humble and kind and a nice person. That's a characteristic. Self-control, that's being in control of, guess what, yourself. That's a characteristic. There are things on the inside that the Spirit produces in us, but they produce works. They produce obedience on the outside. So think about it. If you have love, you can't necessarily measure love, but it can be seen on the outside because you'll serve people. You'll obey God. You'll be merciful. You'll sacrifice yourself for others. You'll be generous. You can't measure joy, but if you have joy, you'll be positive. You'll smile. You'll laugh. You won't be depressed. You'll cheer up other people. You can do all those things and still not have joy on the inside. But if you have joy, you'll do those things. You can have peace. And then it doesn't matter what's happening. You'll be calm and trusting. You won't be stressed out and irritated and worried. You can have patience. It doesn't mean just letting whatever happen happen, but it also doesn't mean pushing for your way all the time and complaining and when things aren't going your way. You can have kindness. And if you have kindness on the inside, then you'll be a good person. You'll tell the truth and you'll be fair. You won't ever leave your principles, what you believe, just for a moment. You'll be a upright person. You'll obey God. You'll resist temptations. If you have goodness, then you're not going to gossip about other people. You're not going to lie to other people. You're going to help other people. You're going to think the best of other people, even when it looks like they might be not worthy of you thinking the best of them. If you have faithfulness, then you'll put your trust in God when things go bad and when things go good. If you have faithfulness, you'll fulfill the responsibilities that God's given you in your family and in the kingdom and in life and in work and in friendship. And you'll be the person God wants you to be, not just today, but for forever, for the rest of your life. You'll continue when things are difficult. If you have gentleness, if the Spirit gives you gentleness, and as He gives you gentleness, you won't be irritable. You'll have a good personality and a good character. If the Spirit gives you self-control, you'll be able to control your emotions, and control your thoughts, control your actions, control your eyes. You'll be able to control yourself. And He says, against such things, these fruits of the Spirit, there is no law. We've been talking about law the whole time, measuring our goodness by what we do. And He says, when the Spirit is producing these things in you, you can't put that under a law. Why? Well, because you can't apply a law to characteristics and emotions. You can't measure that, who you are, in the way that you can measure your works. I can measure how much work my kids do around the house, but I can't measure who they are on the inside while they're doing that work. There's not a law that measures that. It's not fulfilling, when the Spirit is working in us, it's not fulfilling a legalistic list of things we have to do. It's becoming a totally different person. The law tells us that we have to behave differently by demanding us and putting burdens on us and condemning us. The Spirit makes us different on the inside. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. The way that we crucify the flesh on a day-to-day basis is by following the Spirit. And then it ends with, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If we live by the Spirit, if we're alive, if you're alive because of the Spirit, what does that mean? If He's given you life, if you were once dead, if you were once a person who rebelled against God, if you were once deserving of God's wrath and His condemnation, if you were once a slave to sin and to yourself, and the Spirit came and He started pulling you to God, and he gave you faith, and He made God and the Bible and Jesus seem very attractive to you when before it was boring, and when He woke you up inside, and if He pulled you to Himself, and if He gave you faith, and if He poured out His grace on you, and you decided to give yourself to Jesus, and you repented and were baptized, and you were made a new person, if you're alive today because of the Spirit, and if you're alive today, spiritually on the inside, it's only because of the Spirit. So if you're alive today, it's because of the Spirit. Then He says what? let us also walk by the Spirit. If you become a Christian because the Spirit brought you to Jesus, then continue walking your Christian life by the Spirit. How do we do that? This is the application. How do we walk by the Spirit? We receive Him, we ask for more of Him, and we follow Him. How do you walk by the Spirit? You have to receive the Spirit. If you're not a Christian yet and you hear this and you say, okay, I see how the Spirit of God could make me a different person, then if that's pulling on you, then don't delay. Make your decision. Come to Jesus. Give yourself to Him. Repent and be baptized, and He will fill you with His Spirit, and the Spirit will transform you from the inside out. And if you're a Christian and you say, I've already done that, but I want to be transformed from the inside out because I don't feel like I'm being transformed by the from the inside out. How do I walk by the Spirit? Listen, we ask for more. Luke 11:26, Jesus says, if we ask, God will give us the Spirit. We ask for more. We ask for more. We say, God, I don't feel joy right now. Would you give me joy? You're struggling with depression. You say, I don't feel joy. Spirit, would you produce joy in me? When you're just stressed out and things aren't going well, you say, God, Jesus, I don't feel patience. I don't feel peace. Would your Spirit work those in me? We ask Him to do what He's promised to do. When people are just bothering you, you say, would you work love in me? Would you make me love people? When you feel like you can't control what you're doing, would you give me self-control? Would you work that in me? And then as He does, we follow Him. We follow the Spirit. We remember that He's in us, and we follow Him, and we say yes, and we obey Him, and we become more and more like Jesus. So, what do you need to do to walk and live by the Spirit? And what will you do? Why don't we stand, we'll pray together, and then we'll sing. God, we thank You because You are good, and we know You're good because You not only ask us to be different and tell us to be different and show us how to be different, but You put Your Spirit inside of us and You make us different. We praise You for that. You are so good. God, I pray for those who have not made the decision to follow You, that this thought of Your Spirit being in them would be enough to drive them to say, I want that, that they would give themselves to Jesus, that they would repent and be baptized. For those of us who have made that decision, God, I pray that You would help us to depend on the Spirit to transform us from the inside out, that we would stop being people who default to just making an effort and trying harder to be different on the outside, but that we would cry out to You to make us different on the inside, to make the fruit of Your Spirit grow inside of us, that we would be different people. And God, I pray that You would do that. Fill us with Your Spirit, we ask. Help us to follow His Spirit so that we will be like Jesus more and more every day. In His name we pray. Amen.